I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Thanks for tuning to 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. It's something you don't think about very often. Your clothing. What effect does it have on the economy? What effect has it had on the economy? What effect does it have on the environment? It's something you don't think about every day, but writer Elizabeth Klein has thought about it and revealed quite shocking facts in her new book, Overdressed, The Shockingly High Cost of Cheap Fashion. And she's on the line with me this morning to talk about our clothing. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's begin with the cheap fashion and where the big change came, because I remember as I was growing up, department stores had a lot of high-end clothing, and now that's changed quite a bit, and part of it was the little bit of money after World War II as the middle class was established, but there was a big change in the 1990s. What happened in the fashion world that has created this situation today?
Yeah, my book really focuses on what's happened over the last 15 to 20 years, which is essentially that most mass market retailers are trying to put out new trends as quickly as possible and cheaply as possible in order to lure consumers back into the store over and over and over again. So that's why we've seen our consumption of clothing skyrocket in recent years.
It used to be that department stores had sales seasonally, four times a year, and now everything's always on sale.
Yeah, and I mean, really, department stores have lost out to these full-time discounters, whether it's a TJ Maxx or a store like Target or Old Navy or H&M, where you don't have to shop a sale. You walk in and things are always cheap. And that really is how most American consumers are shopping today. And I mean, even you could say around the world, I know H&M, which is an extraordinarily cheap clothier, they're the second largest retailer in the world now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how back in the 1960s, there was Jonathan Logan and Bobby Brooks, and Logan did $80 million in sales, Brooks $44 million. Now, just the Gap alone, or Banana Republic, Navy, Old Navy, $14 billion.
Yeah, the fashion industry is incredibly consolidated and just huge compared to what we were seeing in the 50s and 60s. And that's in terms of sales numbers, but also in terms of volume. I mean, someone like Bobby Brooks, they may have churned out a couple thousand of a certain garment, but it's quite common today for retailers to be producing tens of thousands, if not millions, of a single item of clothing. Certainly a Walmart or a Target would be producing hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of a single piece of clothing. Even Gap will produce 1 to 2 million pairs of jeans, for example. It's quite shocking.
Well, in Overdressed, you also talk about how it's changed in the consumer's mind, how shopping for clothes are almost an afterthought and not the commodity they used to be.
Yeah, and I think that we're really shopping based on price now, and we really are. And if we're not shopping based on price, it's based on some sort of designer name brand, and we don't have a really good sense anymore of when we're buying something that's worth our money. And I think it's a paradox, because people certainly care about how they look and they want to look good in their clothes. And we seem to be getting further and further and further away from that. And I think that cheap fashion has a big part to play in that frustration that a lot of consumers feel with what they're wearing. Because if you just walk into a store and you buy something because it's $10 and sort of cute, the odds are that you're going to get it home and it's either going to fall apart or it's not really going to work for you.
And that has set up something when it comes to the size of our wardrobe, too. It used to be you had a few outfits, and now
right.
We have too many clothes for our closets, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, I live in Brooklyn, so my apartment's tiny, and I was just swimming in cheap clothes. They were everywhere under my bed. They were in the basement, and, I mean, certainly just piling up on my bed and all around my room. And, you know, consumers aren't really getting a lot of use out of the clothes that they own. They, you know, may own 20 pairs of jeans, for example, and only wear two or three. And again, that goes back to us just shopping based on price. And, you know, as a result, we just keep accumulating more and more and more, which is exactly what the fashion industry wants us to do.
You also shine a light on what happens, because I know I've done it all the time, making contributions to Goodwill or the Salvation Army, the used clothes. Mm-hmm. Certainly there's someone out there that can use this, you know, old shirt or T-shirt that's still in good shape. But you really shine a light on the afterlife of cheap clothes that is shocking about its effect on the environment. I mean, how much bulk that we're creating, and not only in the manufacturing side affecting the environment, but then when you try to toss it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to donating clothes is a perfectly worthwhile endeavor. What I wanted to get across in that chapter in the book was that we're buying so much clothing that it's really just not possible for these charities to resell all of those clothes in their thrift stores. And it's been that way going back to the 1960s, really. I don't know how we got it in our head that we could be buying this much clothing, if there's some poor person out there that absolutely needs all of these clothes. For decades now, we've been donating so much clothing that the majority ends up being shipped overseas to secondhand markets, mostly in Africa. And now that the quality of our clothing has gone down so much, a lot of it is just so crappy that, honestly, it has to be turned into fiber or wiping rags, because it simply can't continue on as clothing.
It's a little difficult because of some of the blends. You talk about the different blends of fibers, that it's not like a plastic bottle that can be melted down and reused. Just the nature of the textile industry has quite an effect on the environment.
Yeah, that really that's where you get into the real environmental toll of what we're doing. I mean, in 1950, world fiber use was just over 10 million tons, which is a lot. That in itself is a scary number, but it's now at 82 million tons. Yeah, and it grows a lot every year. Even during the global economic downturn, our consumption has just continued to go up. And the fiber that we're producing every year requires something like 2 trillion gallons of water to process. And I also talk in the book about how these our overconsumption of clothing and these habits that we've gotten into over the last few years, it's starting to spread. I saw it spreading into China. I saw factory workers wearing cheap Chinese fashion, and these chains like H&M and Forever 21 are aggressively expanding there. So I really looked into what's going to happen when it's not just Americans that are shopping this way, but it's also China and people on the other side of the world.
Well, how can we break this buy and toss cycle? Because I now feel really bad about all the clothes I have laying around my house, and I don't want to throw them away or, you know, have an impact on the environment. What can we do?
Well, first I want to say that, I mean, the book, I wrote it from a place of frustration as a consumer. I wasn't happy with my clothes. I felt like I didn't know anything about clothing. So it really is about getting back to a place where you feel good about what you wear. It's not about making people feel bad. And that's why some of the solutions that I offer it's really not that out there. You know, it's like, be strategic at the beginning of the year, set a budget, and buy the best thing you can for your money. Rein in your consumption. You know, I also advocate thinking locally, so support independent designers when you can, support designers that are made in the U.S., and then just be smart, you know, like take your clothing budget and seek out the best thing you can for your money. And then lastly, of course, is take care of the things that you buy. I know that going to the tailor and the seamstress is considered a little bit passe, but I personally don't think there's anything better than making sure you get the right fit and getting and owning something that actually flatters you and something that you want to wear.
Well, we have a minute or so left, but I just want to ask, in your look at the shockingly high cost of cheap fashion, what were you most shocked at? Because I found a lot that really opened my eyes.
I think that what I was saying about the Chinese fashion consumption really floored me, and not in a good way. I think we picture China as some sort of scary, you know, terrain of sweatshops, but really what I saw was American consumer lifestyle spreading to other parts of the world, and we're really going to have to rein this in at some point, and I think now is as good a time as any.
Elizabeth Klein, author of the new book, Overdressed, The Shockingly High Cost of Cheap Fashion. You can learn all about the impact of your clothing choices if you read this book. Very eye-opening. Well, thank you, Elizabeth. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Elizabeth Klein and her book, Overdressed, The Shockingly High Cost of Cheap Fashion, by visiting WVXU.org.